Let's open up in prayer before we get started. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this gift of laughter. It's been a fun morning. It's been a great morning to worship you. I just am in awe and amazed by you, Lord. And, you know, making light of our styles of worship and the hand raising, it certainly is a lot of fun, brings a lot of joy and laughter to us. But I pray, Lord, that each of us, when we come to worship you on Sunday morning, that we would feel free to raise our hands or to put them in our pockets, to sit down, to stand up, but Lord, to freely to express how we adore you and worship you, and that we don't focus on the people around us, but we just focus on you. And Lord, in this message, and this as we wrap up this series on prayer, I pray again, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would give us the desire to put you first every day in this discipline of prayer, which is so vitally needed. Lord, bring glory to yourself in this, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this is the last week as we're going through the series on Before Amen, the Max Lucado book, in case you're just new here today. So this is the final sermon in this series. The goal of this series, if you remember, was to bridge the gap between prayer in theory. Prayer's a good idea, right? Amen. Yeah, it's a good idea. God commands it. The Bible commands it. God wants you to pray. So we got theory, and then we got practice. It's kind of like your diet. You know how to lose weight, right? Yes. And can you apply it in your life? No. Okay, I mean, or it's a constant struggle. But the reality with prayer is the same thing. Why the gap? Why the gap? Well, the goals for this series and this series and the objectives were, one, number one is to understand that God wants you and invites you into a personal relationship with him. He wants you to pray, and he wants us to get started. For those of us, you know, weeks ago when we started this series, maybe you didn't have that daily practice of prayer. Maybe it wasn't a priority for you. You didn't take any time for it. You started to read this book. It's 100 pages, 9 chapters. It's very easy to read and think about good meditation for getting started on prayer. Well, hopefully for one or two or many of you, now you've got that daily discipline, and I hope that's true. But in that first week I mentioned, and you guys remember this, that a ship that is tied to dock still has a purpose, but it's stationary. A ship that's been unloosened has set sail and it's out to sea. Guess what? It can be steered left and right. It's going somewhere. It's got momentum. So for you and I, the question isn't, you know, whether I'm equipped to pray or I'm comfortable to pray. It's, are you still tied to the dock? Because you're not fulfilling your purpose. You're not obedient to God's command. Pray to me. Come to me. Call to me. I'll encourage you. I will hear. So how many of you have got a designated time and place? You've said, you know what, I'm going to start praying every day. I'm going to make this a priority. And this is the time. I'm going to do it in the morning. I'm going to do it in the afternoon. I'm going to do it in the evening, or maybe all three. I'm going to pray ceaselessly. I'm just going to focus on God throughout the day. Well, if you don't set up a time, you guys know this very well. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Is that true or not? It is true. And so develop a list, develop a plan. Question is what is it that you want? Do you really desire to have this close relationship with God? I'm just going to touch on a few of the highlights from this book, especially to benefit those of you who are not here. The first chapter, Max Lucado gives up like a model prayer, similar to Matthew 6 when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer. It says, Father, you are good. I need help. Heal me and forgive me. They need help. Thank you in Jesus' name. And in chapter 2, he highlights in Matthew 6:9, when Jesus taught the disciples, he said, go to your father, say, our father. But this word in the Greek, picture Jesus speaking to you personally. He says, hey, Kelly, this is how you do it. Say, daddy, I need you. Would you forgive me? See, that's what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying, oh, you know, these and thous and oh, most supreme high. He said, Father, Abba, Daddy, I need you. And Matt shared that sermon with us that week. The next week, chapter 3 was, you are good. And this quote from A.W. Tozer really had me thinking a lot about God's goodness in response to answered prayer. Listen to this. Nobody ever got anything from God on the grounds that he deserved it. That includes you and me, right? Having fallen, man deserves only punishment and death. So if God answers our prayers, it's because God is good. From his goodness, his loving kindness, his good-natured benevolence, God does it. He is the source of everything. Amen? God does it, and we can trust him. In chapter 4, it was, I need help. Where do you go? Where you go when the chips are down and you need help? That person, that place, that's the thing you're trusting in. When you really need an answer and you go to your wife, you go to your neighbor, you go to a coworker first and most, that's the person you trust. But is that right? God wants us to go to him with every need. In Philippians, Paul said, do not worry about anything. Instead, by prayer or pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That is all you need. Whether it's healing or forgiveness, whatever it is. And in this particular chapter, we talked about what is the, in the next chapter, it's heal me. Heal me. What is the purpose of our suffering, our going through times of trial? It's this. God's purpose in suffering is to bring glory to himself, to change you and to change me. And how does God go about this? In Isaiah, he says this, I have refined you. I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. Through suffering, when you're crying out to God, heal me, he may be saying, my purpose is to allow you to suffer that I might refine you and change you and make you into the person that I want you to be. You know, we cry out, why me? Why am I going through this? God allows suffering for a purpose, to get your attention, to change you and mold you. And remember, I shared this story. Okay, sin and sickness, Jesus Christ paid the price for both on the cross. And sin and sickness are no longer to have dominion over you. You remember the story about Joni Erickson Tada? Quadriplegic, totally dependent upon other people, and Christ every single day, can't do anything for herself. Did sin and sickness and her injury have dominion over her life? No. And should it over you and me? Absolutely not. Chapter 6 was forgive me. Psalm 32 says, when I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy upon me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. And finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and you stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. All my guilt is gone. In chapter 7, they need me. They need you. They need help, excuse me. Intercessory prayer, that is to intercede for someone else in prayer, is not rocket science. It acknowledges our inability and God's ability. And last week was thank you. God's solution to any challenge is simply this, a grateful spirit. The psalmist gave thanks, Jesus gave thanks. And giving thanks is not a suggestion, is it? It's a command. So this final chapter, in Jesus' name. Finally, this last chapter of the book, the last chapter in this sermon series, and on the very last page, Max Lucado says this. The phrase, in Jesus' name, is not an empty motto or a talisman. It is a declaration of truth. My cancer is not in charge, Jesus is. The economy is not in charge, Jesus is. The grumpy neighbor does not run the world, Jesus, you do. Jesus, you are the head coach, the CEO, the president, king, supreme ruler, absolute monarch, high and holy baron, overlord and Raja of all history. Jesus, just speak the word. Just speak the word of God's holy Son, and it carries weight. Jesus' name carries weight. We should always practice praying in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of scriptures that state this categorically. Hebrews 1:3. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command, that is Jesus. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majesty of God in heaven. And Paul said in Philippians, therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name that is above all names, Jesus. And Jesus said himself, my Father has entrusted me with everything. Jesus, he radiates God's glory. He sits in a place of honor. His name is greater than all the other names. Period, an exclamation point. One of the most astonishing things that Jesus encountered in his ministry, and Max points this out, it's a story of a man who puts his faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus is astonished. You guys remember this story? It's about the Roman centurion. Turn with me. Get your little red Bible out there. Matthew chapter 8. It's page... Oh, I wrote the page down, and now I don't know where to put it. It's Matthew chapter 8. Read along with me. Starting in verse 5. Okay, here we go. Verse 5, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Then Jesus, verse 13, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go home. Go back home, because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. The Roman centurion recognized Jesus' authority. His faith was and is amazing. And Jesus has the same authority today. His power has not diminished one iota. To heal, to forgive, to comfort, he hears and answers our prayers. Prayers that are answered, offered in faith, and for the purpose of bringing him glory. This isn't, like Max said, this isn't some magic incantation. In Jesus' name carries power and significance because of who he is and where he sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. The goal of this book and this series has been to encourage you to get started. Have you gotten started? Do you pray? Do you pray regularly? Are you still tied to harbor? Are you out to sea? Are you fulfilling your purpose? Or are you collecting barnacles? I don't want any husbands to answer that for the wives. Okay, that wasn't funny. Okay. Wasn't that funny, I guess. Everybody swings and misses once in a while. Okay, it happens all the time to me. But anyway. All right, listen. I just want to share a couple quotes with you. And I'm going to share a short video with you here in a minute before we close. Listen, Satan does not fear because you are eager and earnest Bible students, provided that you have little prayer. To pray as God would have us pray is the greatest achievement on earth. Such a life costs. It takes time. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. To be much alone with God is the secret to knowing Him and of influence with Him. The secret of knowing Him and of influence with Him. This is the secret for you as a person. This is a promise for you personally. And it's a promise for us corporately as a church. I want to play this video here in a second, but to set this up, this video is Dave Stone. He's sharing a message from September 2010, and he's talking about his church, a vision, a change of direction, almost five years ago this September. I'm going to comment on that after you see the sermon, after you see it. Go ahead, Matt. the secret of knowing him and of influence with him, both personally and corporately. To be much alone with God. Charles Spurgeon said, "The condition of the church may be very accurately gauged by its prayer meetings. So is the prayer meeting a graceometer, and from it we may judge of the amount of divine working among people. If God be near a church, it must pray. And if he be not there, one of the first tokens of his absence will be a slothfulness in prayer." Personally and corporately, maintaining the discipline to pray is by far the most difficult thing to do. And by far, it's the most important thing that Satan goes after us, personally and corporately. Right after the service, we're going to have a short prayer meeting. It'll be 30 minutes. There'll be childcare. And if revival is going to happen in this church, in your life, in your family, if God is going to do anything substantial, and his Holy Spirit is going to do anything, he's going to do it in response to prayer. And so when we come together right now, I'm going to comment a little bit more before we pray together later. But to close this, I just want to encourage you, do not let Satan win this victory in your mind. Don't walk out of here saying, prayer is not for me, prayer is too hard, I don't have time. Don't tell God, I don't have time for you. Pray with me now. Father, I thank you. We can come to you in praise. The one who spoke and created everything, the one who told the sun where to set in the morning, the moon where to hide in the day, set the boundaries of the ocean. Lord, you are so amazing. It boggles our mind. I just pray, Lord, that right now that we press upon each of our hearts that this vital reality, this necessity that we each personally and corporately, that we grab a hold of prayer. Do not let it go. Teach us, even if it's a simple prayer, it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or however long, Lord, please teach us to pray. Do not let Satan win any victories in any life, any soul here today. In Jesus' name, amen.